You are listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network.
Hello, One of Us listeners. My name is Nick. You may recognize my voice from One of Us shows such as The Screener Squad, The Final Watch series, and occasionally The Breakfast Pub. Recently, I have ventured into the world of audiobooks and created my own production company, Mercs with Mics, which so far has been quite successful. The bad news is that it's a little too successful for me to actually keep up with the workload on. So I'm looking for some freelance audio editors to help me out with some basic editing. Things like editing out flub takes, loud breathing between dialogue, and the elimination of clicks and pops and other artifacts that might end up on the audio. Payment would start at the rate of $70 per full hour of edited audio. I'm also looking for narrators, with a decent home recording setup, and at least some previous experience in acting. If you are interested in either of these positions, please contact me at mercswithmics@gmail.com. Thank you for your time, and a special thanks to all the listeners who support OneOfUs.net and keep this wonderful site going. You make me proud to be One of Us.
OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber-supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net, keep the site and all of our great shows going, and get some terrific bonus content as well. Thank God nothing like this will ever happen again. Because now we have the report. Because there's no way after this movie that we can go as a society and go, look, this movie, it said that torture is bad.
Yes, the CIA will never do anything sketchy again.
I just want to thank Chris for giving me this opportunity to get my righteous indignation out one day this week. It really helps.
Yeah, well, you got to have your day for that. I mean, Baz over here has been shooting Nazis in video games all week, so he's already feels like he's like got his flank covered.
Yeah.
So the rest of us, though, we got to talk about Scott Z. Burns' new movie, The Report, and get behind it and go, listen, America.
Yes, we've taken care of everything.
Yes, everything.
Adam Driver will save us all.
You know, in a way, I believe that. Yeah, well, we all know that he's going to end up like turning good at the end of the next
movie. He's going to be the next emperor.
So, you think?
Yes.
I don't know.
He's got a red.
I think he's the Skywalker. He's the Skywalker. He's the rise of Skywalker. There's only one Skywalker
even have
left.
A lightsaber.
Wait, what are we doing? We're talking about the report.
Welcome to our review for the rise.
This
of
discussion
Skywalker.
Makes me happier than the report.
All right, so the report
Need
is
some levity.
Well, first off, I'm Chris.
I'm Ben.
Mindy.
Bo.
Bass.
And this movie is about the Senate Intelligence Committee report on CIA torture. Wait, don't go anywhere. Wait, no, come back.
You're not leaving anywhere. You're not going anywhere. We've got 2 hours to explain to you exactly what fucking happened.
We're
going to
read out all 7,000 pages of the report. Now, Adam Driver plays Daniel Jones, who is a guy who was working in D.C., who claims in the movie, I don't have any political aspirations. After 9/11, I realized I want to fight the good fight, basically.
Yes.
And when the movie quickly moves to, okay, he's done his time in the trenches, he went and worked for the FBI for a while, and now he is working for Senator Dianne Feinstein, who is looking into, wants him to look into, and with a small group, literally two other people, the CIA's use of enhanced interrogation.
Well, it doesn't start out as three people. It starts out as six people because it's a bilateral commission. You've got three people who are ostensibly on the left side and three people that are ostensibly on the right side of the aisle. And then, very quickly into their investigation, the Department of Justice starts doing another investigation onto where, because we knew that we were using this at this point, we were using these techniques called enhanced interrogation techniques. And that, there was some consideration that maybe some people were going to get prosecuted. So the Department of Justice initiates an investigation. And once that happens, everybody on the right side of the aisle says, well, they're doing that. So this is basically meaningless. See it.
Right. Exactly. So more and more this thing is getting whittled down. More and more people are like, this isn't going to go anywhere. Only Feinstein is standing behind him going like, this is important. The CIA doesn't even seem really concerned. But here's the thing. he actually starts uncovering stuff. Now, they've certainly trying to vet as best they can their deepest, darkest secrets, but nonetheless, in this little office they've given him that's off limits to CIA personnel inside the CIA offices, where he has access to some portion of their servers, he's pulling out all these memos for going on for years, memos and emails and notifications that are surprisingly packed with information as they slowly piece together a timeline and a series of events and the people involved and the people who made the decisions to go to say, oh no, this was okay. This and how fucked up all of this was. This is a movie that is definitely for political junkies more than your average Joe, I suppose. Yes. Now, Bazier is like saying, I don't know almost anything about American politics, and you still found it completely riveting.
It was wonderful.
Yes, political junkies, and I will apologize at the beginning of this review if I choke up because I've been holding back just sobbing for a very long time. It was a very, very hard movie. But
go ahead and sob. It makes a good podcast.
I probably will.
Chris, get the Instagram. Go on.
Sorry. But anybody who was a young adult to adult beyond 9/11 has a stake in this movie. And those who have more than that, like me, have even more of a stake in this movie.
Why do you have more than that?
3 years before, I was living in Nairobi when a terrorist blew up the embassy.
Okay.
And 2 days later, I went to school with a whole bunch of people who just lost their parents.
Hmm.
Yeah. It was really hard. I carried that for a decade. They got him a month after Osama bin Laden. That was surreal. But it's like... The important thing that I felt about this movie was that it wasn't partisan. It focused on the Bush administration when it was in office, and then it focused on the Obama administration when it was in office, and that was the point.
Mm.
It's not about this party did this, this party did that. It's like, no, this is not about partisanship. This is about humanity. This is about treating people, the way we treat people, and the fact that Americans in particular are like, we are Americans. We are truth, justice, and the shining light. We are the right
side of right.
We speak a really good game on, yeah. Basically, we honor people's rights, even if you're not from here. We are not going to torture you.
Yes,
we treat combatants according to the Geneva Convention as prescribed many, many years ago, and that's how we're going to treat you. But
and then it's just
because
like,
we went back
you said it
crazy.
Right. You said it right when the movie's whole point is. The government constantly trying to make things about partisanship, and you're like, that's absurd. That's so irrelevant in the face of this complete and utter lack of humanity.
Yes, and what really bugged me is like, because there's a part in it where, obviously you're following Adam Driver's character, and you're following his massive amounts of frustration as the years pass, and he's getting blocked and blocked and blocked and blocked. But one of the things that he found out was like, reports that said they knew these techniques weren't going to work, and they knew them as far back as Vietnam. And it's like, no, we knew them as far back as the fucking Salem witch trials. We knew them as far back as the Spanish Inquisition. Torture does not work. It is the act of people who are angry, who want vengeance, and nothing good is going to come of it.
Yeah.
They will say whatever you want to hear in order to make it stop.
Well, and I think they do make this point occasionally in the movie that it's like, well, a lot of reasons this went through the pipe is because people were so angry and confused and frightened and frustrated after 9/11 that it was just like, well, let's just do anything that works. Let's just start throwing... And they kind of show the CIA kind of going like, holy fuck, we knew a big attack was going to happen, but we...
The FBI kept telling us this is going to happen, and we ignored it.
Our gown around our ankles. Let's start throwing shit up against the walls, guys.
Literally,
and
sadly.
Eventually happens is these two kind of hacky psychologists come in, and they're like... Well, we teach special forces how to resist torture in this way, but we can reverse engineer that to make people feel the opposite of that way, and then mayhem will ensue, and that's how we will get intel. And these guys they've never interrogated anyone. They have no background in interrogation.
They don't know anything about the country they're in.
They're like, one of them worked for the Air Force, and they're you know, one's like a sports psychologist.
Right, and they enter into this, like, saying, when they're like, well, the FBI got information, we didn't get information. So it's basically the CIA trying to cover their ass as a cover-up game, and it's like, well, these guys said they did something. I think we can get more information out of it if we take these guys, and then progressively they just dig their own grave, pretty much.
The most distressing part is that they're still just, I would argue, maybe everyone who votes Republican, I hope not all, but the bulk of them still actively believe that this was the reason we got Osama bin Laden, and that it was completely justified. And the movie very much makes the case that, and the original memos here that from the real life scenario, that that is absolutely a lie, that it did not give them any actionable information.
And I'm sure there are a lot of people on whatever side of the aisle, wherever you might lie, that are just like, I don't give a shit. Fuck them, they're terrorists. And if they're getting tortured, great.
Oh, right. Yeah. No, I get that argument a lot. And I both love and hate the fact that I have in my back pocket when an answer to, well, how would you feel if this happened? It's like, let me tell you. Well, you wanted me to tell you about the school therapy sessions? You want me to tell you about the fact that I was an illegal alien in Holland because we had to flee the country? I can tell you this. I can also tell you that you're being an inhuman asshole and that you shouldn't allow fear and base hatred to overcome your humanity.
Right. There's just so much wrong with just the sentiment from the get-go. I get being angry. I get wanting revenge. But there are ways to do that, and then there's ways not to do that. There are ways where you become an animal.
Oh, yeah,
you become the bad guy by no matter what the other guy did.
Yeah, the census committee, you know, near the end says, we did things that the Nazis did.
Yeah.
He flat out says, we did this.
Well, I mean, not the first time we've worked with people who were Nazi-ish, including actual Nazis.
Oh, yeah. So, and it's just
Operation
like...
Operation Paperclip.
Yeah, and it's like, and I... Bounded telling is like, I noticed, like, when did I just burst into tears throughout this movie? One was obviously the torture scenes, because holy shit. But it happened again when Adam Driver is, you know, he's with a reporter, and the reporter's like, I can publish this today. And he's like, no, I'm going to do it the right way.
Right.
And just feeling just, you know, the fact that despite all this, he still has faith in the system. And then it's the caucus the next day where they're confronting, you know, really pushing to get this through, because this is their last hurrah. That's the last chance before the new people voted in come in. And on the wall, there's a picture of George Washington, and there's a picture of Jefferson looking over this. And at the end, there's a quote from Washington saying the inhumanity of doing this sort of stuff. And it's like, we knew it back then.
Yeah.
And these are the people that you claim to admire as heroes of our country. They're the ones who wrote that document that you're supposed to... you know, prize above all others, that says this is the way we do things and this is who we are.
If you only think of America and your pride of America the same way you think about your pride in your favorite football team, you're doing it wrong.
Exactly.
You know, it's much more deep than that. I mean, I think I keep saying this is one of the biggest problems why we don't really teach the right type of history in school anymore to people. We don't teach the important stuff. Anyway, but we could talk about the philosophy of, like, that we all are on the same side of here, unless Ben has been quiet, so maybe you're just like, fuck those guys. I don't know.
Oh, no, I heard the Nazi thing, and I was like, I don't think the Jewish guy is going to come into this with anything that's going to differentiate from this. I think we all know where that's going. Yeah. I'm going to let this move.
But talking about this as a movie, I did say, I think this is for political junkies to some level. I agree. I wish everyone would want to not be able to wait to see this, would watch it. But it is a huge information data drop of a movie. It's like,
oh, God, and it does, yeah. It doesn't.
Oh, God, yeah.
I think the you know, we do occasionally get stuff like The Big Short or The Post. What is the
or one? Vice?
Yeah, where yes. You know, you do have these massive amounts of information that you've got to convey.
Spotlight
oh, for is sure. A great example. And I think this, you know, at its best, this film manages to do that. It's helped along quite well. by a very, very capable cast. They obviously shot up a flare, and anybody who cares about this sort of thing was like, yep,
I want to be involved.
I'll do it, even if I'm just on screen.
And also great direction that just moves. Yeah. A guy doing research is so hard to sell that. And that is, we're focusing on Adam Driver's character doing the research, and they did a great job of putting in those transitions where it's like, here's the document he's looking at, here's the information he has, and phasing that to the title card for that scene, and literally putting you in that moment where you have to experience
it. It gradually makes you as mad as he's getting. Because he's starting off very, like, he's just very professional and calm, and as it goes along, you're constantly afraid he's going to totally fuck up and fly off the handle and do something wrong.
Oh, he gets cross.
You know, and you're like, there are points where
he just punched somebody in the face.
Like you mentioned earlier, there's points he is deeply tempted to leak info because this is so important.
It's not even a cross. It's just this exasperation because he has taken in all of this information and, you know, has kind of, it has coagulated him into a point where people can say things and he can just be like, no, that's not true. And here's chapter and verse on why that is not true.
Right. The guy doesn't even have to look it up. It's all memorized.
Absolutely contradicted yourself.
And then on top of that too, it's like there's, you know, it starts out once the, you know, the Republicans leave and it's just the three of them. It then becomes the two of them because one of the people's like, I'm here all the time, and instead of with my kids, I'm reading reports about people who were hung to the point that their shoulders dislocated, and this happened. It's like, this is what I'm carrying, and I can't do it anymore. And he's carrying this pretty much solely for 5 years, and then two more before that is there's like the preliminary or whatever the word is that I'm trying to say, report.
Preliminary.
Thank you. So there's
like preliminary better.
Thank you.
For the record.
So 7 years.
That should have been the word.
Exactly. Seven years of this bullshit that he has been carrying around that has been blocked repeatedly to have in the world and have somebody be accountable. And that's the thing too, is that throughout the whole thing is like, we're doing this because somebody needs to be accountable. And then at the end, when it tells you, it's like, this is what happened. It says, none of these people were held accountable. One of them's the head of the CIA now.
Yeah. That's the most frustrating thing about movies like this, quite frankly, is where you're like, yeah, and it's got you and you're with it and it's beautifully acted and it's really well directed and it's super tight and you're with it the whole way and you're getting angry and then you feel a sense of justice only to realize this shit is probably all
the only way this could have been a more frustrating, bitter ending is honestly is if they played the inevitable Fox News clip where they call them all traitors for releasing this.
Oh, yeah.
Which they didn't, thankfully. They did it at the most tame, by the way, things still suck, they could have done. Because it is a very monumental moment when they show it. And I do remember, you know, when McCain came out and was like, no, they're right, we fucked up. And I'm like,
they
okay,
have that in the
somebody,
movie.
Yeah, and when they include that, you're like, I remember that vividly, being like, thank God.
Well, McCain to his credit, he was always like, when he heard about this shit, he was like, POW here, don't do that.
No, exactly, that's what I'm saying. So, like, them including that here is like, I remember that speech vividly when that happened, because it was one of the few times that, you know, those of us that are like, yes, politics can be good when we work together, and then idealism, where it's like, see, look, here's it actually working. And that moment was really special. And then it's like, yeah, sorry, but then we're all fucked.
But the guy, Adam Driver, is playing Daniel Jones. I almost expected that one of two things to happen with the end scroll. One, say, Daniel Jones was found shot dead in his apartment.
Oh, no.
Or
Daniel
B,
Jones
to
was
say,
found floating in his pool. He died under mysterious causes.
Or B, Daniel Jones ended up moving to Hollywood where he wrote the Deadpool movies or something like that, where he's like, fuck this.
Well,
I'm
did
done.
Say he left afterwards.
Yeah. I was going to say, did you expect him walking past the Washington Monument going, hey, just show up the fist? Yeah.
Right. He does the breakfast pub, like,
pub?
You know,
wow,
fist up in the air.
Breakfast pub? Way to pimp your
breakfast
show, Chris.
Club.
Good
sorry.
Job.
Breakfast club. Sorry. But there's a huge cast here. We mentioned Annette Bening is Diane Feinstein, and she's amazing in this
she's
role.
She's very good.
She's a national treasure. I'm sorry. Adam Driver, of course, is terrific here. John Hamm plays Dennis McDonough, who, when he first meets him, is a lower level, I guess, Senate.
He's a national security advisor for Tom Daschle.
Okay.
And then when the Obama team came in, he was their second chief of staff, so he was like, I mean, he's ranking throughout all this, but obviously graduating from senatorial position to executive is, you know,
a big promotion. But you also get Jennifer Morrison, Tim Blake Nelson, Ben McKenzie, Jake Silberman, Matthew Reese, Ted Levine, Michael C. Hall.
Hey, Ted Levine, he plays one of the baddies in this. Yep. He's great.
Mara Tierney,
who I always love her since News Radio.
Corey Stoll. Yeah. It's just a great, and there's a lot of people you're like, wait, who is that? You know them because they're one of your favorite television shows.
It's
one of
the best character actors too. Just like, I really support this. I want to be in this movie moment.
Apparently the guy playing the psychiatrist is, he's more of a stage guy, but he's like won 5 Olivier Awards. And,
oh, wow.
You know, he's one of those.
Yeah. Guys. The evil psychologist. Yeah. Who's like, you know, I tried that whole pop
he's
psychology
really horrible.
Thing.
At one point, he kind of breaks down in tears, and he's really just doing like, but I really like torturing people.
Pretty
Let
much.
Me torture
yeah.
some people.
Yeah, the guy's just...
Ah, but some of them are torture resistant. Yeah.
The guy's just...
not forget that.
He just wants to write his thesis on torture. That's
I
all
I
think
it's one of the most bittersweet laughs in this movie, where it's just like, where they're like, you know, they waterboarded him 84 times because he wasn't giving them information.
184
times. And they're like, wouldn't it after the first time you realize that this doesn't work?
Yeah.
And it's like, there's a chuckle there. Then you're like, I feel really bad for laughing at that, but it's the only slight bit of levity they've had in the last hour of this movie.
It
Jesus.
Is.
The utter lunacy of everything they were doing.
I mean, it just Douglas Adams would have had a field day with this, is what I kept thinking. Just the absolute absurdity of government and how like everything just dovetails into itself and like, oh, something's not working. Well, let's double down and then figure out a way to make pretend like we never did it in the first place and make sure the whole system is designed around making sure we can't be held accountable for our actions, which is quite frankly exactly what happened and probably exactly what's happening right
for
now.
Me, the biggest hoot was at one point, John Hamm is like, well, if we just come right out with this, the Republicans aren't going to work with us in the future.
Yeah.
I know you laughed really hard. It's they go, if we just come right out with this, the Republicans are not going to like stay with us on this whole Affirmative Care Act.
They'll try to repeal health care and they won't work with us on immigration. And, oh, what about gun stuff?
Yeah. You're just like, in retrospect.
Absolutely. I'd like to introduce you to the new majority leader of the Senate.
Yeah, not exactly a prescient statement, John Hamm. Just saying.
Yeah, and also I'd say, too, I mean, as well, the film does a really good job, too, in its scenic ways that it creates ambiance, because I noticed that, like, all the stuff involving Adam Driver's room and like a lot of the Senate hearings, it was all blue and gray.
Yeah, there was a pattern.
There was a pattern creating this really, really sort of depressive, dark, imposing feel.
Cold.
And then when it got to the, you know, the black spots, whatever they called them, where the people were being held.
Black sites.
Black sites. You know, there was a lot of oranges and browns and very
sepia
earth
tones.
And it's like it very much created this dirt, earthy base atmosphere to that. And it's like, it was one of the few times I've seen a movie where it's like I noticed that it was creating an atmosphere based on like lighting and set design.
Yeah, it definitely. And part of that was because those scenes were the flashback scenes. And of course, in every movie, they've got to change the whole look for the flashback scenes to remind you this is not happening currently. This happened before.
Right.
But you're right. There was all through those sequences. They always had that same tone. Mm-hmm. Well, let's go to final thoughts. Ben, why don't you get us started?
Sure. It's funny. We watched just last night The Current War, which is another movie that we all kind of agree. It's like this could be really dry and dull. It's amazing how quickly this movie can move. There's so many scenes, sometimes a little bit too fast in the beginning. I thought there were some like meetings where it's like, is this one meeting at the CIA? Is this four of them that they're laying together? And you kind of piece together, it's probably like four or five. But as it goes through it, like, again, a guy doing research is so hard to move and then move to those transitions of, you know, the historical stuff that he's looking at and putting you into that moment. They do a great job of doing that. It doesn't 110% always work because nothing ever will. But honestly, for a movie like this, that's the most important thing is keeping you riveted to it. And the performances as well. Jesus Christ, this cast, even with John Hamm playing pretty much the guy John Hamm's fallen into of, I'm charming and I'm also clearly hiding anything that does not support my side. So I'm going to keep doing this.
Not exactly a stretch for John Hamm,
no,
for the record.
It is very much what he's been very good at.
Don Draper if he was in American Politics.
But seriously, just Annette Bening is so amazing in this. Adam Driver proving why it's like, it was like, oh, that guy from Star Wars? No. The guy from basically a bunch of fantastic indie movies and Black Klansman.
Pattinson, what have you.
Yeah. So this movie...
Patterson, sorry.
Yeah. This movie is critical for so many reasons. I do hope it gets seen by the people who should see it. We have too many times where these types of movies we have to say, it's great, but I worry the people who need to see it won't see it. This one, I think, does walk that line enough that it may not, you know, the people who are at least on the centrist side or on the line be upsetted by it. The people who are very much down the wall for their side, you know, Democrat side will completely support this, Republican side completely blinded already to, you know, wanting to work in the middle will have the same issue. Hopefully there's some middle ground here we'll see, but it's just a really fantastic movie. I'm going to give it 9 out of 10 Marilyn Manson songs that probably shouldn't be played that loud.
Bass?
Well, like you said before, Chris, it was a case of names and everything else were just going over my head. But what actually was happening, it didn't matter. This was just pulling out a story from basically, it was pulling the cover off something that should never have happened. We've just, like you said, this has been proved again and again that this kind of thing just doesn't work. And
don't you come here from your English country and judge us.
Well, it's,
October 31st yet? just checking.
Chris, don't be rude to me. You guys have a special relationship.
Listen. It was, for what it was, and seeing who was in this, it was absolutely superb. And I'd almost put it down almost as a thriller. Because you just wanted this thing to race along. And it did beautifully. I don't think I got lost anywhere. This just kept going on. And it kept moving on nicely. And we got to the end. And although it was like you said, bittersweet and everything else. We got to the... I was worried that this was going... He was going to get shot. He was going to get killed. Something was going to happen to him. He was going to end up jail or something. Or discredited. But no. He did his job. He left. Do we know what happened to the guy after that?
Got a good job.
This. Yeah, good.
And I believe I looked it up a second ago.
And a nice farm upstate.
Yeah, it's like
where he can run and play.
He wrote the Deadpool movies. Yep, I was right. No, he is currently a fellow at Harvard's Carr Center for Human Rights Policy.
Good. Okay, nice. There you go. You see, he's in a good place. Yeah. He's in a good place.
They can't kill him at Harvard.
They would never.
It's written on the back side of the Constitution. You can't kill any white people in Harvard. You got to hold it up to the light.
Yeah, it's true. You got to put lemon juice on it.
Nicolas Cage showed me that one.
Right.
It also shows where in the Oval Office, if you press the button under the desk, it opens up into the caverns.
Well, there you go. That's maybe interrupted nicely. There
Sorry,
we go.
Yeah, you knew how this went.
Yeah. Oh no,
you got the experience.
I think last night was a good example of being interrupted. That was superb. Yeah. Yes, but let's carry
it's
on.
It's artful interruptions.
Yes, it is indeed. Yes. Well, I'm going to have to say that I'm going to have to give it 9 out of 10 redacted pages.
Fair, Mindy.
Well, as I have stated, this movie was very hard. It was very. It felt very personal in many ways, based on my background, and on top of that, because, you know, I grew up so much overseas and was affected by terrorism and then came back, it was very hard for me to be okay with being American, and that only kind of happened in the last couple of years. So seeing something like this really hits that. And but I can't call this a good movie because it is terrible. It is terrible about the human rights violations that we have to own up to. And I think it's really important spreading the message of, especially now with this administration, cut the partisan bullshit. We are human beings. At our core, you shouldn't let our party stop us from being human beings. And I know that you guys had left at this point. I always tend to stay till the end of the credits. And at the end of the credits, it had a list of everybody who was involved in the committee. And afterwards, it said the filmmakers strongly urged the Senate to release the full report with however many pages it was.
7,000.
Yeah. Well, it's in the movie. It's like, we want you to release all 6,000 whatever that are left that haven't been released.
Right.
And I think that's... That any kind of shortcomings, which there weren't that many. I agree with you at the beginning. It was a little too fast to kind of get everything, mm-hmm. but ultimately that didn't matter because the meat and potatoes was about the one that they focused on. So it's like I said, I cannot call this a good movie because it hurts too much to be a good movie, but it is an important movie and it is something people should see to look at themselves and look at their biases that are created by the political crap. So that said, you took my one of the redacted pages.
Oh.
So, honestly, I will have it be 10 carved names on the memorial fountain out of 10.
I was going to, just before I let Bo go, I just wanted to say, I always say, like, a great movie is one that is capable of causing you deep emotional upset that
yes.
you find
I agree.
Difficult. Or where Spider-Man fights a bunch of dudes in an airport alongside the Avengers. One or the other.
One of the two.
One of the two.
I was going to say an animated Spider-Man meets another animated Spider-Man.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, also a criteria.
Yeah.
Bo?
I'm glad that, you know, we're kind of getting some you know, various points of view on this, but, you know, generally people are liking it because, I mean, this is my kind of neat. I'll sit down and watch stuff like this for fun all the time. Well, you know, fun.
That's good, yeah.
For a given value of fun. Fascination, definitely. And, you know, it's you know, definitely, you know, maybe my being older and having read a lot of stuff like this makes me a little bit more inured to it, so that I'm able to watch it without coming out screaming and raging and crying.
Well, I'm glad I had my fidget cube.
I'm still affected, you know, you know, very much by stuff like this. And this, you know, it's amazing. It's something that everybody should know about, and probably most people don't. So I really hope this becomes, you know, something more along the lines of Big Short or Spotlight, that you know, kind of becomes, you know, a
film that people feel beholden to watch.
You know, the dark horse that comes out. That being said, I'm certain that there will be some Oscar bait for this, if nothing else, because there are just some really amazing performances in this. Specifically, Benning, I think, kind of runs away with it. And you know, Adam Driver is, you know, fast becoming, he's just a really reliable actor, so it's you know, nice to see him kind of carrying this, because even though the rest of the cast is amazing, it's squarely on his shoulders.
He's certainly
stuff.
The movie wouldn't have worked without him making it work,
and I can see it being a slog for people because it's a lot of stuff to take in, and there were times that I was kind of worried that was going to affect the pace, but it didn't. It everything kind of went along at a clip, and that's much a great direction. I was really moved by this. I hope a lot of people see it, you know, and it's definitely a very skillful piece of work. I give it 8.5 out of those weird oriental short-haired cats that look exactly like Adam Driver.
Yeah.
Out of 10.
They do. I hadn't thought about
that.
You're
really
right.
Do.
Wow. There's a point where they show a profile of him for too long. I'm like, stop. It's distressing.
His nose just gets bigger.
You're just like, his nose gets bigger. His eyebrow ridge starts to protrude more. I'm just like,
and
stop.
He becomes oriental short-haired.
He does. I think we're all on the same page largely here. I think this is an important movie. I think it's a really great movie. I think it's also it's at points a little confusing, but the thing is, like, that's just because they're just throwing so much data and internal stuff and political stuff at you so fast that sometimes you just get kind of, like, lost in it. But it always is, you're never going to be in a point where that's going to make you lose the thread of what's happening here. It's just so much stuff being thrown at you. You're overwhelmed by the amount of just horrible, obvious shit that's like, how is this a thing that was allowed to happen? How is this a thing that even now people are not only not being prosecuted for, but being promoted from, even after this memo came out?
Oh, because it's the CIA.
Yeah, well, because it's the American government, which is designed to protect anybody who works for it at the expense of truth, justice, and the American way.
I
will say,
I do love those moments where there's Mara Tierney who's just like staring at them like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, she kind of starts out as a true believer, and then she's just like, oh shit, we've invested in you people, and you have no idea what the fuck you're doing.
I bought way too much stock in crazy shit.
I really like this a lot. I wish that this was going to be everybody's cup of tea to watch, and I can already hear like people getting ready to write, oh, y'all are just a bunch of angry liberals. It's like, that's a shame you feel that way, because this movie is indeed like trying to say this has nothing to do with being Republican or liberal at all. And being one of the people who was the most angry about this was one of the Republican heroes, you know?
They show him directly.
Yeah, directly getting on the Senate floor and saying, this is bullshit. Like, this should never have happened. John McCain, of course. This should make you very angry, and not in a way that you think about what your political base is, in a way that you should be angry that this was allowed to happen, either in a sense that the government is so convoluted that this sort of thing can be covered up and people aren't prosecuted, or that this was anybody committed these offenses against humanity at all. I'm going to give it 9 out of 10 promises from Mindy that she was going to openly sob during this podcast. I'm very disappointed that you did not just completely break down. I thought we're gonna you know it sweeps, right? Come on.
You heard my voice.
Weeps for sweeps.
Shut up.
Yeah, Chris, come on now.
Thank God we have cats to pet.